Since 1901, Limbaugh has been laying the foundation for a better world through the design, installation, and maintenance of MEP systems. This podcast takes a deep dive into our business, the evolution of Limbaugh throughout the years, and the people that are essential to moving us forward. Listen in as co-hosts Kate Mistry and James Swanson explore Limbaugh's culture, legacy, and the stories that have shaped Limbaugh's footprint as a leader in the MEP industry.
Imagine walking onto a job site where every person from the CEO to the newest apprentice feels personally responsible for the safety of everyone around them. And not because it's a rule, but because it's part of who they are. That's what we're talking about today, how Limbaugh's Hearts and Minds program is reshaping what safety really means. Welcome, Janaina, Rob, Nick. Today, as you know, we're going to be talking about, not just about policies and procedures, but we're going to be talking about culture and how a safety culture shapes how we think, act, and lead. So before we jump into all of that, can we start with your backgrounds and your history with Limbaugh? Janaina, can we start with you?
Well, thanks for inviting me. Kate, it's a great pleasure to be here with you today. And yeah, I've been with Limbaugh for almost 4 months now. It's been really exciting. And I've been fortunate enough to have spent time in great companies leading a variety of global functions. EHS was always core to my roles. And I also managed business excellence, business development, project management, sustainability. So I've always had a great time and lots of fun driving cultural changes throughout my career. I'm an engineer with a master's in environmental sciences and a PhD in industrial engineering. I'm married. I have a 15-year-old son who lives in Florida, and we really enjoy the warm weather and the beautiful beaches we have around here.
Oh, man. Sign me up. Already quite the resume. Can't wait to dive into a little more of that. Rob, how about you?
Rob Suds. I've been with the company for, I'd have to sit down and figure it out. It's between 17 and 18 years. It's been quite a while, a couple of breaks in there, but my current stint about 10 years and about 30 years in construction. I started out in the field as a pipe fitter, plumber, welder, worked for Limbaugh in the field for several years, and then came back in my safety role in 2015, late 2015. I too am married, have two sons that are 30 years old. So they're a little bit further down the road. And it's been a great adventure. And I just realized this morning when I was describing it, I've actually been in construction for 30 years. So wow. it's hard to imagine that already, but man, 30 years in and hopefully about 10 years to go. So it's been quite a ride. I really enjoy it and couldn't really imagine doing anything else.
We're going to tap into that legacy knowledge in just a minute. Nick, how about your background?
Yeah, so I've been working with Limbaugh for 2.5 years now, almost three. Prior to this, I worked with a general contractor for about 6 or 7 years. So I've got 10 years of experience, and I got two kids, a little on the other side of the spectrum than Rob, but we got a little over two-year-old and a six-month-old, so we're just getting started. So there's a lot going on at both work and at home. So
we'll have to tap into all the parenting advice that could be given on this episode, but in our sister podcast, Parenting at Limbaugh, just kidding, we don't have that, but we should. What I love about the stories you just told, even the snapshots of them, is you gave us insight into not only your work, what you do in your day job, but also in your life. And I think that that's a really strong opening for this episode, because we're going to talk through how Hearts and Minds committed to safety is not just about what you do in your day job, right? So before we do that, let's also kind of mirror what you just did in giving us a timeline of your career history with a timeline of safety at Limbaugh. Just briefly, 2004, big year for us. Our former CEO, he launched the incident and injury free IIF program at the company. 2014, another big year. We co-founded Safety Week, which is a industry-wide week where we position ourselves as an industry safety leader. And then 2024, another big year, these years of the fours, this was pivotal for us because it helped us reimagine safety in a more holistic way under your leadership, Janaina. So we'll talk a little more about that. The big storyline here is that we've made a shift from avoiding accidents, this mindset of, oh, we're just going to avoid, to building cultures of continuous improvement and accountability. So let's start there. Janaina, you are newer to Limbaugh. What's one thing that stood out to you about our safety culture since you've joined?
Stood out to me immediately was our genuine we care culture. There is a huge sense of care, commitment, and ownership across all layers of our organization. So starting from the CEO and the senior leadership team and all of our leaders, they are passionately engaged in safety. Right. We have great examples, some of visible leadership, the quarterly safety stand down where we pause the company to talk about safety, right? The executive site visits, everybody at the site right after they stand down, reinforcing our messages. The quarterly town halls, everything starts with safety in this company. All of our branches have clear safety goals. So, it's really a core value. It's really genuine. People really care. When I go to the field, many trips to the field, there's a huge passion there as well. People feel proud of our safety culture here. They're comfortable speaking up and stopping work, and that's amazing. That's regardless of customer pressure, of deadlines. You know, this is really huge because it really, it's about the risk mentality, the risk awareness, the culture that we want to have. So it's really nice to see that, you know?
And you've also come in with a fresh perspective for us, and we've kind of reshaped our safety function around this. How do you see the integration of environmental health into this culture that you've come into, and what's the opportunity there?
Yeah. So the opportunity I see in integrating environment health into our safety culture that is already very strong is really to create a more holistic approach. Sustainability is already at our core. We offer amazing solutions for our customers. We help them become more sustainable, more resource efficient, and therefore reduce the environmental impact. So as we mature as a company, this integration allows us to build on our strong foundation and really elevate our culture even further.
Yeah, and I know that Rob and Nick have seen the evolution of us getting to this point and you coming into the organization and providing this more holistic safety experience for us. So Nick, we'll start with you. How has the conversation around safety, in your view, changed since you've joined the company, and specifically focusing on how has that conversation changed with our customers over the past few years?
I think the biggest thing that fairly recently has changed is we've taken this notion of caring and we care and really implemented action, right? Action comes from it, whether it's having the tough conversations to address certain things on job sites, or wearing your seatbelt, right? And like, we care means we take action. And from a business standpoint, the work that we've done, and since I've worked here in the 3 years, you know, it was a lot. We're working on larger jobs, construction sites. That has changed, right? And as we go to more account-based, the risks are similar, but they're a little bit different, right? You have your lone workers. You're working in smaller crews. Oc health becomes a thing with asbestos, right? There's certain things that have changed as we continue the culture to build the culture that we have from a safety standpoint.
Yeah. And Rob, you've been here for the 2004, 2014, and 2024. So is there anything you wanted to add to that from your perspective?
Yeah, it's been kind of neat to be here over such a span, because what I've seen is I've seen this company. One thing's consistent here, and that's change. We're constantly changing, right? We're constantly trying to do things a little bit better, make this a little more effective. And what I've seen in some cases is we've changed and we've changed and we've changed again, only to come around to way, you know what, we had this the best that we could get it the first time. It's been really interesting. We've introduced some tools that maybe weren't so effective and we thought they would be, but we've always been willing to change for the better. We've always been willing to change to go back to what worked. And that's the one thing that that I've really enjoyed here. We always are looking for what works best, and we're not stuck in the past. We're not stuck on any one thing.
I think that is a key core philosophy of the company and, of course, our safety culture. Safety is a evolution, and it's a shared responsibility. Yeah, and I think every person, like you all have mentioned, would say that about the company. In fact, we even ask in our engagement surveys, you know, how much do people agree with that sentiment? And it's our strongest rated question. And I think that is indicative of the mindset shift from reactive to proactive safety habits. So, Rob, continuing with your experience and coming from a talent perspective, so the people that we have in this company, how do you teach safety as more than just a requirement? How do you make it part of someone's core of their identity?
And that's a great question. And it takes some effort. It's not, it's certainly not just teaching the technical safety, because rules and regulations, I think just about anybody can go and read, and anybody can go watch a video or sign up for a class. What the big part is our hearts and minds 2-day workshop. That's a big part of it. If you want to make safety a part of how somebody is and into the fiber of everything they do, they need to go through that. And I think as leaders, as facilitators of that course, we need to also realize that this is a journey. This is an evolution, like you said a while back. We're going to do this 2-day course, and it's going to take a while for that to sink in. And I've had people call me back a couple of years after the course, and I try to share those moments with you as well. Because it feels like a huge win. It takes a while for it to sink in. But you have to keep talking about it. You have to keep bringing up the examples and letting folks know that, hey, this is how this works, and it'll take time, but we can get there. It certainly just doesn't happen. It's conversations. It's backed up with examples, but it's not just reading the books and knowing the standards. It's a lot of attention, a lot of conversations.
The idea of personal accountability, like you said, that is crucial to all the follow-ups you're mentioning and all the conversations that happen after this. Jenna, going back to the environmental health and safety relationship, with your EHS lens, how does environmental responsibility intersect with that idea of personal accountability and safety?
Environmental responsibility and personal accountability and safety are deeply intertwined. We can't separate them. Personal accountability and safety really means that each individual takes ownership over their actions. They understand what the consequences are, and they try to take the best solutions all the time. And it's very similar in the environmental landscape as well. So environmental responsibility is about understanding where we are, how we can make the environment we operate in better than when we arrived, and we should all own EHS. It's really driving that ownership mentality as we foster this culture where individuals are really held accountable for safety, for environment, and for their health choices. We create this better environment, a more sustainable, responsible, caring workplace. That's what we want.
And what about going more broadly here with just overall accountability, personal accountability, and health and safety?
So earlier this month, we had a situation where one of our service technicians started feeling dizzy, ended up passing out and hitting their head. They were working in a mechanical room at a customer site, and luckily, their co-worker didn't hesitate. He called 911 right away, got help, and started a notification process so the right people were in the loop fast. The individual is fine, and this is a strong real-life example of the kind of response we've been reinforcing over the past 3 months at Limbach. And just as important, it highlighted what personal accountability looks like, looking out for each other, staying calm under pressure, and doing the right thing. Health and safety is a responsibility we all share for ourselves and for the people we work with.
And Nick, I'm sure with your experience in the Northeast, you can echo what Janaina has shared there. At that relationship between accountability and safety. Can you provide an example of when someone on site used our stop work policy to prevent an incident? Stop work is something Janaina briefly mentioned earlier. So maybe you give us a little more background on what that is. But what does that do for the individual and what does that do for the company?
Yeah. Our stop work authority is really empowerment to our people, right? At all levels. It doesn't matter if you're a branch manager, a journeyman, an apprentice, everyone has the authority to speak up if there's an unsafe condition. One occurrence that really stuck out to me, and it was when I first started here, we were working in a shaft area to repair a leak. And to access that, we had to get some staging in the shaft, and it was considered a confined space. So we get there the day of, the foreman's ready to go. They have a confined space rescue team. They're doing hot work, so they have a fire detail there. It was a coordinated shutdown with the owner. Our foreman went to go on the staging, and it was a little bit wobbly. So he didn't feel comfortable going on that staging, and we made a tough decision. Himself, the project manager, the entire project team to raise their hand, stop work, and have the confined space rescue team go away, the fire detail, right? Cancel the shutdown, have the conversation with the owner. It was a very, very tough decision, but with the support of the entire team, we were able to make it happen and get the scaffolding guys back to come and support the staging. And complete the work in a safe manner. And that one's always stuck with me because it was right around, you know, early on in my career here at Limbach and really proved what everyone was saying with stop work.
Yeah. Put your money where your mouth is. And that was definitely a moment for you. And that's such an important aspect of our safety culture. I love that it's even translating to the subs that we work alongside with and to our customers as well. I had the privilege of bringing our award-winning Hearts and Minds Commitment to Safety two-day workshop that Rob had mentioned to our customer, the George Washington University. And they invited us to come teach this course in large part because safety is the foundation of their work as well as ours. But it was also a bridge between us, that commitment to safety as a cultural part of the organization. And so, as you all know, this training focuses on embracing change, avoiding complacency, adopting that continuous improvement mindset. And we focus specifically on modeling these concepts in very real and practical ways with our leaders of the company, because we want to drive change across not just the company, but across the industry as well. So this was a powerful experience for me because I don't have safety professional after my name, but it was so powerful for me during that workshop, seeing the light bulb go off when they realized how much of their work and their day to day they can not only control, but how much of the work and the mindsets of others they can influence. And it was awesome to see this concept of influence and safety come to the forefront. So my question for you as safety leaders, and Janaina, I'd love to start with you on this. How do you keep momentum going after a workshop like that ends with our customers?
Hearts & Minds, one of the best safety programs I've seen in my entire career. It's really powerful. It really helps people understand risks. And beyond that, it helps people understand the whys, right? Mm-hmm. And the emotional why, if you will, is part of the conversation. It really hits home. They bring it home, and that's when safety, the we care culture, really becomes ingrained in everything that we do. It improves ownership and so on and so forth. So how do we keep the momentum, right? It is, it's about continuous engagement. So first, it's really crucial that we ensure that there is follow-up communication after the program. We want to reinforce the key takeaways constantly. And so we want to host regular check-ins, additional sessions to help participants revisit what they learned and keep it fresh. But beyond that, it's really again, about embedding the mindset into everyday practices. In the program, I encourage leaders at all layers to model those behaviors that we discuss in the session. And we encourage them to make safety a part of daily conversations. And I think this approach really helps build a lasting cultural change.
Yeah, what I love about the course is exactly what you're saying. We don't just talk about, you know, ladder safety. That's important. But we also talk about when you're going home and you're mowing your lawn, you better not be doing that with flip-flops on, you know? Like, let's think holistically here. So it was just such a great experience for me. And Rob, I'd be curious from your perspective, how has collaborating with our customers on safety changed the dynamic of that relationship between us and our customer?
Oh, it's for us, it's kind of great in that a lot of our customers in our area here in Michigan look to us as leaders already when it comes to safety. And whenever there's an issue, whether it be myself or Jennifer, my safety partner up here in Michigan, or even our third party contract employees, they're calling us ahead of time to ask our input or almost in a sense treating us as part of their team. To kind of not police the job site, but help them out. They rely on our feedback. They rely on our site audits, our observations that we're providing for them. So it doesn't take too long to start that process up. And then, of course, if unfortunately an incident occurs, that's when we really get to show what we're all about and how much we care when we're taking care of whoever may have been injured or whatever may have been upset. When we know how to make things right, how to get people back to 100%. That's just our opportunity to show another form of value we provide our customers. It's really been great. And I've got a lot of close relations with a lot of our customer safety professionals.
Yeah. Nick, anything from your experience there you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think the more that we can partner with our customers and clients with specifically the hearts and minds and safety culture, it gives us an opportunity to showcase what Limbach is about, but it also gives the client and the customer like ideas to implement and affect their safety culture.
Yeah.
Which is what I love about it the most, right? Like we get to impact change, not only internally, but also externally as well.
Yeah. So let's keep going with this line of thinking. Because we're going to start wrapping up our conversation here with this, with an emphasis on the future of Hearts and Minds commitment to safety. We have quite a few initiatives that are game changers for us. New daily routines, the Do Not Disturb campaign, near miss reporting, leadership's hands-on approach. A lot of initiatives going on here. So Rob, talk to us about this Do Not Disturb campaign. How is this... how was it sparked and how has the initiative been received?
So the Do Not Disturb campaign, personally, I love it. I'm a big fan. And for clarity, Do Not Disturb just is a function on your feature on your phone that keeps you from being able to receive phone calls or text while you're driving. So for me, I'm really enjoying it. The phone doesn't ring when I'm driving and it just allows me to focus on the drive because we drive in some pretty heavy traffic areas. So for me personally, it's been great. What sparked it is we've seen more and more studies that show that we as humans cannot multitask anywhere near as much as we like to think we can. So when you're talking on the phone, and we have a lot of great leaders in our company, and for some of them, it's pretty hard to adapt this, to be honest with you, because they're taking advantage of their time in the vehicle to use their time there to make calls, to finish their day up. So it's been hard for some folks to adapt to it, but you can't focus on your driving when you're focused on this problem my brain's trying to solve back on the job site. And that's what we're trying to get away from. Just constantly looking out for our folks, whether they're on the job site, whether they're on their way to the job site or on their way back to the house. We want them to get to where they're going. We want them to finish their day safely, not just at work, but driving as well. And of course, that's one of the most dangerous things that any of us are going to do. Yep. So if we can take any of the risk out of that and make it so that they can't be disturbed and they're made to focus on their drive home, then whatever we can do to help that out, that's what we're trying to do.
I've seen that in meetings that I've been in too with our company leaders, where someone will be in the car and, you know, our CEO, Mike, will say, hey, hang up. I'll catch you up later. All right. Yep. You don't have to join this right now if you got to be in the car driving.
So I appreciate you calling in, but please hang up and you'll get the recorded version.
Yes. Yes. So Jenna, Ina, how do you see technology? Rob kind of mentioned some phone technology there, but technology as a whole shaping the future of all aspects of safety.
So we have great examples of wearables, smart helmets, vests, wristbands. They monitor worker health and safety in real time. Some wearables are equipped with motion sensors. They can detect falls, collisions, sudden movements, and they automatically alert supervisors. That is particularly important for our lone workers.
Yes.
Want to make sure that they are always safe. They can track locations, ensuring that the workers are not in harm's way, in high-risk areas, and so on and so forth. When it comes to environment, it's the same thing. There are a lot of predictive analytics and real-time monitoring systems that track and manage environmental risks more efficiently. So the integration of technologies like AI, machine learning, simulators, they will really allow us to assess, manage safety, the environmental conditions in real time, and will give us the ability to act fast and make better decisions, better data-driven decisions. So as we evolve, as technology evolves, they will not only improve safety performance, but also drive sustainability, and will make it easier to really minimize our impacts on the environment while keeping people safe.
Wow, a lot to leverage there. And I know that safety is not just about the tools that we have, but also the people wielding the tools. So Nick, lastly, what role does leadership development play in sustaining these changes that Janaina has shared with us long term?
You know, I go back to the Hearts and Minds 2-day, right? Like it's partly a safety course, but part leadership.
Yeah.
And the more that we partner with the leaders in the company and continue to educate them and get buy-in from them, from the leaders of the company, the more sustainability that we'll have when implementing certain protocols, procedures, new initiatives, and things like that.
Thank you. Thank you all to all three of you for bringing this insight into our discussion. We're not quite done yet because we've saved the best for last. We want to leave our listeners with a lightning round of questions, which means I want your gut reaction, one word to one sentence, no, nothing more than that. And we're going to go around to all three of you for each of these questions. You ready?
Ready.
Okay, great. All right, we'll go in this order. Janaina, Nick, and Rob. So, Janaina, one word that describes Limbaugh's safety culture today.
Caring.
Nick.
Inspiring.
Rob.
Transformative.
Ooh. All right. Next question. What's the most common safety myth you'd love to bust?
Oh, that's a good one. That safety slows down the job.
that's a huge one.
Processes, behavior, leadership in place. In reality, safety enables the job.
Preach. All right, Nick, what you got?
Safety's not in place to lower insurance premiums and EMRs.
It's a good one. Let's say it again. All right, Rob.
Safety is not expensive.
Okay. You know, we could have whole podcast episodes on each of your answers in that one question. last question. What's one small habit that can make a huge difference in someone's safe behaviors? Janaina.
Voicing a concern, asking a question, checking in, you know, those things can stop an incident before it happens.
Awesome. Nick?
Put your seatbelt on before turning your car on.
It's a great habit. Rob?
Right.
Just talk it out. Talk out the process with your tool partner before you go to work.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. Thank you to all three of you. That's a lot for us to walk away with today. I know I'm walking away with this concept that safety is not just about avoiding accidents. It's really about what you all shared, creating environments where people feel empowered, supported, they feel responsible for themselves and for others. And I'm also walking away with the knowledge of the integration of environmental health and safety under your leadership, Janaina. And that marks the next evolution of our safety journey. And I'm excited to see where we're going to go. So with that being said, I'm going to leave us today with this call to action for our listeners. If today's conversation has sparked ideas about how you can improve safety in your team or in your organization, reach out to any of us on this episode, whether you're a part of Limbaugh or one of our partners. We would love to help you integrate the hearts and minds approach into your safety practices and beyond. Thank you, Janaina. Thank you, Nick. And thank you, Rob.